Welcome to WDW for Families, the original family-friendly trip planning podcast, helping you plan your Disney vacation for over 5 years.
All right, welcome to WDW for Families, and tonight we are having an inquisitive podcast because it's question night. And it's been well over a year since we've had question night here on WDW for Families. I got tickled at something. Hey, it is so good for everybody to be here. This is the first time in probably months that we have started our show with all five of our current squad. I mean, with the exception of Rusty, but the five regulars on our show. First of all, Charity is here and on mute.
Hello, and on mute. Yes, there we go. Hi. All right,
Charity is here and Stephanie is here.
Hey, guys. I'm back again.
Back again, 2 weeks in a row for Stephanie, and Kevin is here.
Hey, here I am. Glad to be here for another podcast.
Kevin, your beard is looking more Viking this week. You're going into that Norse look.
Yeah, it's like all of a sudden, there it is, you know? You know, beards are kind of weird like that. It's like, that looks really horrible, and then all of a sudden, that's not so bad. It's like, there's no in-between time.
Kind of like the bags under my eyes. They weren't there like a few years ago, and now they're there just out of nowhere. But they, however, don't look better as they've aged.
Give it to
Randy, how are you this evening, sir?
I'm fantastic. Just enjoying the weather as it starts to get warmer and wetter here in the spring.
Yes, yes. Crazy. That crazy Tennessee weather where it could be 80 and then 50 and then whatever. Just ridiculous. All right. So it is a question podcast. We haven't done one of these in a long time. We should have several questions. It's been so long since we've done one of these. You guys know we've been doing this podcast for more than 10 years. Have I mentioned that lately? It's crazy. We're getting older. All right. So let's get to our questions. I'm going to ask the questions. Our panel of astute Disney folk are going to answer them. I think we have about five or six questions that we have not answered that we've gotten. And here we go. Our first question is this. We don't have who it's from or anything like that. We just have the question. This question is, I believe Charity got this question. It's, how long before the park opens would you arrive if you are driving in? So the question is, if you're driving, let's say offsite, you're going to one of the parks, what time would you arrive? Who wants to answer that question first? Randall J. is going to tackle it first.
So I never drive to Disney. We always take Disney transportation because we're staying on site. Except we just did this 2 weeks ago. We stayed off site for the first time in a long time, and we drove in every day, and we made it our objective to be getting to the parking lot at about 45 minutes before the park opened. Now, this is in February. We got there about 45 minutes before the park opened. We found there to be very little wait, basically no wait, to get to the ticket to the pay-for-parking spot. And then we drove, had a great, you know, not a great parking space, but we had an easy parking space, walked right in, and then we were in line to get in the parks maybe 20 minutes before they were opened, and that's what we wanted. We wanted to be there early enough to get a good spot in line. That's how we did it. Worked great.
Kevin.
Yeah, so last time we went, we stayed at it was on property resort, but didn't have transportation. So we drove each day, and roughly an hour before the park opens is when you can get in, when they start, you know, letting the lines go for parking. And sometimes it's, you know, a few minutes early, a few minutes late. But what we found is that we were getting there about an hour and a half early. It was a busier time when we went, but we were leaving and arriving about an hour and a half before the park opened to get a little bit better spot in that line. I don't know how much that helped, that 30 minutes, but I do know that we were able to get a little bit closer parking space doing that. And I just didn't feel very rushed trying to get to, you know, the turnstiles and that sort of thing. So I think that whenever you realize that it's about an hour before the park opens, that they open those lines, that's probably a good gauge to kind of think through.
Stephanie, did you want to chime in on this one?
Well, you know, I'm like Randy. I don't typically drive in. It's been kind of a rare occasion that I have. But I agree with what both guys have said. I think also, though, you kind of have to be careful. Like, you don't want to get there too early. You know, with the, well, let me back up. If you're staying off-site, I don't think you want to get there super early because, you know, they let part of the early entry for staying on-site gets in 30 minutes ahead of time. So it's not like it was back in the COVID times where they were letting people in super early because they didn't want people to be next to each other. So if you get there and the park isn't open and you don't have that early entry, you have to stand in line and wait until it is open for everyone. So, I mean, that's just something kind of to bear in mind. I don't know, for what it's worth.
I'll say that in my family, inevitably, we want to get to the park and we're ready to go and we're glad to be there. Somebody's got to go to the bathroom every time. So, you know, it made me feel better that we had time to do that. And then I don't get angry with why did we do all this work to get here and now we can't even go anywhere because you've got to go to the bathroom. So it helped Dad feel a little calmer about that.
Man, I can see you getting angry about that, Randy. I can just see it. I'm watching it in my head as y'all walk into Epcot and you have to go to that nasty bathroom to the right on the entrance of Epcot. And you're looking at your daughter going, why did you not use that?
Just watching the lines get fuller, watching all these people walk by me as I'm outside the bathroom, just thinking, you're ahead of me, you're ahead of me, you're ahead of me. And I was here before all of you.
All right, Stephanie.
Well, and I was just going to say also, along with what Randy's saying, logistically also, he had what was kind of a bigger group of people. And I think, obviously, the more people you have, the more odds that you're going to have one guy who's like, oh, I had to do this before we could go. And so to his point, the earlier you can get there, probably the better, since you are trying to wrangle a lot of people. And it's not just your family of four.
Well, inevitably, somebody's ticket's not going to work. And you'll have to get the guy to come up and look at the ticket. Somebody's going to, you know, twist their ankle. It's going to be some drama. The more people you have. Good answers to that question, folks. Charity, did you ever get to answer the question?
Well, actually, my suggestion is the same as Kevin's. Really, right, the sweet spot for me is right at about an hour before. That's when to get in. I'm definitely more of the get there, be calm, don't feel in a rush, just, you know that you have packed on enough time for somebody to go to the bathroom, somebody to get stuck with their bag with 18,000 things in security. You know, just be ready and take your time and be early. And an hour is really comfortable. You're not worried about getting turned around at the front.
Is it worth it? Our second question, I jumped into the question without giving any intro. Our second question is this. If you are going to purchase a one-day photo pass, when should you buy it? When should you buy it? Who's ready to answer that question? I think Charity's probably the person to answer that question.
Yeah, so I've had this question a few times because especially if you are going for 2 days to the parks, it does not make sense really to purchase it ahead for your whole trip, because then you're going to pay more than you would have if you had just purchased 2 single days. So I suggest, you know, looking at your pictures, and, you know, you can definitely purchase it after you're there. But I suggest going up some point in time during the day, whenever you're towards the front of the park and you're already in the photo area, to go ahead and go view some of your pictures and to go ahead and purchase it that day while you're in the park instead of just holding off and doing it once you're back. What I've seen is, you know, families end up coming back and then they go, oh no, this picture didn't show up and we really wanted that thing. And oh, I wish we could get a print of that. And yeah, you can order them later, but having the option to do it there, you know, it, just knowing that you're already going to be there anyways, going and doing it some point in time during the day, but you do not have to do it first thing.
I have a different take on this question.
Okay.
Because I didn't take it as what time you should do, but what location, when should you do it based on where you're at in your trip. For me, I think you should do it at Magic Kingdom. If you're going to do one place, one time, when, I think it's at Magic Kingdom. I think it's the most iconic park. I think you're going to get, you know, that's the place where people want the picture in front of the castle. You know, they want that perfect picture. And, you know, they've got a lot of those cool little magic ones where you can, you know, hold Tinkerbell or whatever and different things like that. So if you've got little kids, that's a pretty good option as well. So I had a little bit different take on the question. Maybe that's not the way the question was supposed to go, but my answer is Magic Kingdom.
Okay, let's get to the third question. The third question is this. Is it worth it to buy Magic Bands? Is it worth it to buy Magic Bands? I would be very interested to hear Stephanie's take on this. I'm going to say no and listen to her destroy my opinion. All right, here we go.
You know me so well. Well, so I get this question. In fact, I actually got this question today, and it was fresh in my mind. And so what I try to tell people is, do you have to have one? Absolutely not. I feel like, though, it makes things so much easier. You know, each person has their magic band on their wrist. You are not digging in your pockets for the key card every time you want to do a Genie Plus, or every time you want to do your photo pass. You know, every time you do something, you need to scan something. So I feel like it's so nice to have those on your wrists instead of digging them out from somewhere, especially if you have little ones, because you're going to have trouble finding all these key cards. So I say yes. I say also, you know, it's a kind of a, I don't know, rite of passage for a Disney trip, especially if it's your very first one. Todd, I know you go all the time. I know you're probably going next week and the week after, but so some of that nostalgia is lost on you. But I think for those families that are like, they get it in the mail and they're like, oh, our trip is happening. Look at these cute bands. It's so fun. Mom has this one. So I think, you know, there's part of that with it being a first trip for a lot of people, or a second or third. And I think also, let's just say, it is one of the cheaper souvenirs that you can get. They're not cheap, but it's one of the cheaper options. So, I mean, I think looking at it that way, I say yes. But honestly, you don't have to have them, but I do think it makes life easier.
Charity.
Okay, so I'm going to add to your question and say, would you suggest getting the Magic Band Plus or just the Magic Band?
Yeah, is this for me again? Yes. You know, I don't have a lot of experience yet with the Magic Band Plus. From what I've seen of it, I haven't used it. I personally would not, because that's more than I want to spend on it. I know you've got every one of them, don't you, Charity? I think it sounded like fun, but I'm not sure. You tell me.
Yeah, I think I have probably a not popular opinion. I do think if you are going and you are going to spend a whole day in Galaxy's Edge and you really want to do the whole experience there, that having the Magic Band Plus is a huge part of getting to do the whole experience with doing the bounty hunting and all of that. Other than that, I found that it was more of an annoyance because it was something else that I had to charge. It was something else that I had to keep track of. And I didn't feel like it did much for me other than, you know, occasionally make a statue make a sound, but never when I thought I wanted it to. I don't know. I fully agree on all of the Magic Band thoughts. We are a family that always has them, but now, of course, we have such a selection of them that, you know, we don't have to buy a new one every trip. But we always have them with us. And it is a big ease factor, and it is something that says, well, this is a Disney trip. This is different than any other trip. But yeah, I think like all the good features you talked about were all Magic Band features, not Magic Band Plus features. So I don't know. Unless you were really wanting to do the bounty hunting experience, I don't know that I would go with the Magic Band Plus. I would just say the Magic Bands are a real souvenir, a real good piece of the magic.
On our most recent trip, we went with friends, and our friends had bought tickets to the park on the app in advance and reservations and all that. And the idea was that they would just scan their phone to get into the park, right? Because the tickets are right there on the phone. And the day before, we were at Downtown Disney, we were at Disney Springs, and I had this idea, why don't we just stop by the guest services and we'll get, you know, a ticket for everybody, a card, like a credit card sized card for everybody. And that turned out to have been fantastic, because what I had not considered was every lightning lane throughout the day, everybody had to scan to get in, and it made it a lot better that everybody had a card. Now, I will say we had our bands because we had old bands that we were able to bring with us. Nobody seemed jealous about it. Everybody seemed like it was not a big deal. They were not missing out. Now, these are teenagers and adults, but they seemed just fine with just using their cards. When the bands originally came out, I was very anti-band. I was like, I'll never use them anyway. I'll just use my card. And I did use the bands, and now I'm used to it. But I prefer, I think, the card. I prefer, as a guy, I'm used to keeping stuff like that in my pocket. It's not a big deal for me to do that. So I think even it would not take much for me to go back to the card and be very happy. I do think you need something. I would not depend on the phone to be your pass.
Well, the only disadvantage to the cards that I have is that they can be very similar. And so, like, as the dad holding all five of our family's cards because so-and-so doesn't have a pocket space that time, I would get confused and I would have to figure out whose card I used for what. And since Brewer's on the guest assistance pass, I always have to use his card for one thing. And Brewer can't carry his own card. He can't keep up with it. So that's the only detraction from that. I do like the fact that they've personalized the cards a little more, and you can get, you know, one of the different members of the Sensational Six on the front of the card. And that's kind of special. You know, all of us in the family are, you know, can we get Donald? So we have, you know, can I get Daisy, or can I get so-and-so? And then, but that's, to me, that's a lot of the appeal of the Magic Bands, is it's like kind of just like you said, a rite of passage, but also it's something that expresses your personality, because then you know, you get to choose your color, or you get to choose what characters on your Magic Band. You know, I had a Donald one. Amanda had a Dumbo one. You know, the boys had Huey, Dewey, and Louie once. Brock eventually got a Spider-Man when he got older. You know, it was just, and I don't know that people at the park are like going, oh, look at that guy's Magic Band. But we felt like people were, you know, we felt like you know, it was your thing. And when they made the Country Bear Jamboree, Magic Band. It was very hard for me to resist that. But I did because I'm cheap. So there we go. There's the, that answer was a lot longer than I thought. I thought that one was going to be quick. No. All right. So here we go to the next question. This is actually from a guy named Tom from Nashville, where a couple of us live. Well, I don't live in Nashville. A couple of us. We are going to Disney this fall and bringing my dad. I'm not sure he can make it all day through the parks. Will he qualify for the line shortcut pass? Do we need to budget for Lightning Lane and Genie Plus? Okay. Interesting question. I know Randy and I both have extensive experience with the quote unquote line shortcut pass. I'm sure Randy will have something to say about that. And I'll yield my time to the senator from Tennessee.
Well, I assume they're talking about what we call it, what I call a Disney Disability Access Pass, DAS. Some people call it DAS. I don't know exactly what it's called, but it's for folks who can't, you know, make it through the line. And Disney has worked hard to make their lines ADA compliant. So the theory is, like, if you were to walk up to the guest relations and say, I can't wait in line because my foot hurts. They would say to you, well, then you need to get a wheelchair, right? And we have good news for you. All of our lines are able to accept the wheelchair. So that's great. And you don't need any kind of shortcut because we've made this compatible for you. So that alone is not going to help you. So it depends on what Tom's dad's situation is. Like, if he can't handle, I don't know, the heat, if he has anxiety, you know, from being in close proximity with folks in the line, if he, you know, those kinds of things, it's going to be more likely to be able to get a pass that would allow him and five of his family members to go with him through the Lightning Lane. So that's how I would do it. Definitely go to guest relations and ask. Now, you can know in advance. I think what they do now is they really encourage you to contact Disney in advance and get your approval, get it on your reservation in advance. And I think in this situation, you might appreciate that. You might appreciate knowing in advance whether he would be accepted. I will also say, if you don't get the answer you think is appropriate, if you think they're saying no when the answer should be yes, then try again. You know, you don't have to go with just necessarily the first answer. You can stop at guest relations on the way into the park, and maybe that person will see your situation a little differently. Anything to add there?
Well, I think one of the reasons it's become more difficult to get the guest assistance pass, the disability service pass, is that people were abusing the system, and that was a major problem they were having. People were, because people don't like lines, and they just kind of thought of it as a shortcut when it's really not a shortcut. I mean, the crux of the matter is you walk up to the ride, or you get on the app, and you sign up for, you know, the ride, and then you have to wait however long for that ride, but you just don't have to physically wait in the line. You wait somewhere else. And some people see that as a shortcut because they could go do other things instead of waiting in a line. Some of the reasons you would qualify for that would include, you know, if your son or daughter has, you know, issues with like autism or Down syndrome or things like that, where a child or a young person could not handle an enclosed space or waiting or standing for that long. There's just a lot of different reasons why you would qualify for this pass. And, you know, the only way you're going to find out, like Randy said, is to ask. And here's the thing to that. It's no is an acceptable answer. And so that would be my advice on that. I think the problem is that people do in fact look at it as a shortcut line, and that has why Disney has really cracked down on the people who can get this pass. And I'll add this, Disney is not half as bad as Universal. Universal will ask you 20 questions and will ask for, you know, 3 references and a cosigner and a notary. They really want to know why you need the pass. Randy.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, a couple things to note. They will not ask for a note from your doctor. You don't need a note from your doctor. You don't need to show your handicap placard from the car. You know, none of that. Just tell them your story. And I'll say, we had friends from church that went, and he, you know, in this situation, it was the mom that had, I think, like a foot issue. In addition to that, she, you know, had trouble with the heat. She just, you know, she just couldn't make it all day. And they pushed, you know, kind of went through hard, and she would take a break of the day, and the whole family would take a break with her because that's what she needed. She really felt like she was holding the family back, and it put a real damper on their trip. And I think if they knew this was an option for them, that it would have made their trip a lot better. And that's what Disney wants. They want you to have a good time. They, you know, they want people who need this to ask for it. So I wouldn't hesitate from asking if you feel like it's what your family needs.
All right. Well, there's that question. Next question. Here we go. What is the best way to do all 4 parks in a 3-day trip with a park hopper? Now, that's an interesting question. I think we've in fact done an entire show on this. Let me clear that up. Randy, looks like I've just given him an algebraic formula. Let's see. Best way to do all 4 parks in a 3-day trip with a park hopper. So, Randy, he's basically saying, how do I mix it? Well, you got it this time. Okay, got it this time. All right, who wants to tackle this beast first?
Well, I mean, I can start. I think that this question is a little bit nuanced with depending on what your family situation is and the parks that you actually want to spend the most time at. But I think there's a couple of different things I would say. I would say be very specific with where you stay so that you have a good opportunity to get to the parks conveniently. I think that's a big deal. I think staying, you know, either at a deluxe or maybe, you know, a Skyliner resort would be helpful for that. And I'm just going to run through really quickly what I think I would do. I think I would start, this is probably, you know, a little atypical, I'd probably start at Animal Kingdom, and I would do you know, a half or a 2/3 day at Animal Kingdom. And then I would head over to Epcot for dinner. And then I would probably from there, the next day, I would start at Epcot again, hit a couple of things at Epcot, and then hop over to DHS. And part of the reason I would do the first night at Epcot is I would go ahead and hit the fireworks there, start at Epcot the next day, go to DHS, and I would hit Fantasmic there. The third day I would probably spend an entire day at Magic Kingdom and finish up with the fireworks at Magic Kingdom. That way I kind of get all of the evening activities. That's probably the direction I would go. I'm kind of curious, Randy, what do you think you would do?
Yeah, I mean, for me, here's how I'm thinking of it. I have 3 first half of the days, and I have 3 second half of the days. And my second half of the day, I'm going to have one of them at Magic Kingdom, going to have to watch the fireworks. I'm going to have one of them at Hollywood Studios to see Fantasmic or to see the show on the theater. And I'm going to have one of them at Epcot to see their night spectacular. And I like Epcot at night. I like being in the World Showcase at night. So there's my 3 second half of the days. And my 3 first half of the days are going to have to be Animal Kingdom, because that's the only way you're going to get it in. And it's only a half-day park anyway right now. One of your half days is going to have to be at Epcot. Your morning half is going to have to be at Epcot so you can ride Guardians of the Galaxy. And then your other first half of the day, I think, is going to need to be at Hollywood so that you can, you know, run straight to whatever big ride you're trying to run to, Rise of Resistance or Slinky Dog or whatever you think the big thing is. You're going to have to go straight there first, and you need to get that cashed in. Todd?
I'm going to disagree with you on the first one, okay?
On the first what?
No, what? You're about to see. Hold your horses there. I think you have to go to Magic Kingdom first before you do anything else. That's where you go first. I think you walk down Main Street on your first day of vacation, and if you don't, you feel weird about it. I think for me anyways, I always feel weird when I go to one of the other three parks first. So I think you've got that first morning has to be Magic Kingdom. I don't think you have to have a morning at Epcot because you can pay for riding Guardians Galaxy and you can get that in the afternoon. Now that's expensive. It's $15 per person, but
at least
it was for us. It was 15 per person, but when it's just Amanda and I, that was $30. We were glad to pay $30 than have to do that craziness of the thing in the morning, which drives me crazy. So that's my one disagreement with you on that, but I do like your strategy of morning and evening. I had to step away. So I'm sure someone said full day DHS, full day. No, they didn't. Okay.
Why even pay for the hoppers if you're not going to hop?
Well, you would hop, you know, maybe 2 days, 3 days. I don't know.
All right.
I don't know. Do you guys feel like you answered the question sufficiently?
Yeah. Well, I would just add one more kind of option in there. It depends on your age group, right? If you're going as a couple of adults, you know, I'm probably not going to spend quite as much time in the Magic Kingdom. And I'm going to take advantage of the fact that transportation on monorail goes right from the Magic Kingdom over to Epcot, and I can come back. So I might start a morning, you know, start my very first day in the Magic Kingdom. But then I'm going to go over to Epcot for a little bit in my midday, know that the Magic Kingdom usually closes down really late, and come back and close out my first day at the Magic Kingdom.
If I'm on a couples trip, which we do every year, we go to Epcot every night. Like, we're at Epcot pretty much every night at about, you know, 5 or 6 o'clock. We just hop over to Epcot, especially if we're staying back over at Beach Club or Yacht Club or one of those places. We're going over there, and that's where we like to hang out. All right. We have had – this has gone a lot longer than I thought it would, but we've still got one more question. This one may be the fastest question, though. This is a very specific question from Daryl in Pennsylvania. Daryl, do you know Daryl, Charity? I mean, you're in
Pennsylvania. Yeah, I do, yeah.
It's a large state, so I'm surprised you know him. It could be any Daryl in Pennsylvania.
It could be.
Which would you do if both have long lines? I'm assuming a ride is going to come next. Au contraire, mon frère. It's a restaurant. It's actually a snack place. Which would you do if both have long lines? Gaston's or get a Dole Whip? So Daryl sat down and thought of this really hard. He's like, man, what should I do? All right, let's get the answer. Let's go around real quick. Give me your answer in a sentence or less, everyone. Which would you do, Gaston's or Dole Whip? We'll start with Randy.
Dole Whip.
You didn't even give me a verb.
That's all you need to know, man. That's all you need to know. Dole Whip because it's better.
Kevin.
Yeah, I think I'm going with Gaston's on this one, mainly because the Dole Whip doesn't. It's not the end all be all for me. I can skip it. I'm okay with it. I'm going Gaston's.
Right. Kevin Hackett, Disney heretic. And now Stephanie Forrester. You're on mute.
I was just saying, I can't give you one sentence, but here we go. I'm going to say Gaston's. Sorry, I said that weird. Mobile order for either one, but I'm not going to have either one. I'm just going to get a Mickey bar.
Oh, come on.
All right. Wah,
wah. I don't like.
That's why her name is. That's why her name isn't Daryl.
I don't like either of those options. They're too sweet for me. But I want a Mickey bar.
A Mickey bar is not sweet. That's good to know.
It's chocolate.
No, it's not.
All right,
that's a food group.
I'm probably gonna head over with Kevin and go get a cinnamon roll.
Yeah, if I'm forced to choose between these two, the nostalgia in me says, go get the Dole Whip in me. The person who actually enjoys the taste of food would probably prefer the cinnamon roll. That's kind of what I would think on that. But I will warn you off of this mistake I made the first time I went there, is I got the Dole Whip float, but instead of vanilla, I got chocolate ice cream because I thought, well, I like chocolate. Well, I found out rather quickly that pineapple and chocolate ice cream are not poor good decision. Bedfellows.
That you was, chose poorly.
I chose poorly. Anyways, all right. Does anybody else have anything to add to said discussion? The most hard-hitting question we've had in a while. Thank you, Daryl. Thank you, Daryl. All right. So you're never too old to wish upon a star.